quite a few verses from this chapter. I'll have some personal comments to say to the church at the end of the lesson tonight. If you'll be so kind just to share with me another minute or two of your time, I have much to be thankful for regarding you. And I'd like to do that at the time at the close of the lesson, rather than to spend the time in the pulpit tonight doing that also. The Word of God is known for serving up nondescript characters. They show us the ways of God and they teach us about the power of faith. By nondescript, I mean humble people, overlooked characters, people you wouldn't expect to make much difference in the world, which is probably what they thought of Brother David when he came to the Valley of Elah. They didn't know who he was. They didn't know anything about him. He wasn't especially talented or experienced. But there he is, this guy who's easily overrated or underrated, I should say, and he slays the Goliath. Rahab the harlot is such a character. She wasn't a Jew or an Israelite or a Christian, yet she made a difference in many people's lives in the book of Joshua chapter 2. There's Gideon, there's Dorcas, there's Silas. And sometimes these human patterns are easy to overlook. Sometimes we're not even given the names of these characters. And such is the case in our lesson tonight. We'll simply call her the girl. The girl's name is never given to us. She makes one statement in the chapter we're going to read tonight. And then we never hear about her again. She disappears from view. As we begin this evening, I'd like to put a passage of Scripture on the screen for our reading. And I'm going to set the tempo for this lesson tonight with this verse, Psalm 15. It's actually the first two verses. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. Walking uprightly means we are to live in this world in such a dignified manner that we bring glory to God and we make a difference in other people's lives. Walking uprightly means we have the ability to attain integrity, discipline, manners, credibility, leading to respectability that leads to influence. God wants us to represent Him. He wants us to be a respectable citizen in the world so we can have influence in this world. Walking uprightly is a form of spiritual currency. Real estate has a value in the physical world. It's worth something. In the spiritual world, righteousness has a similar value. It's worth something. God can get something out of that. I'd like to turn to the book of Nehemiah and demonstrate this in chapter 2. We'll read the first six verses of the chapter. The book of Nehemiah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. Last line in verse 11 of chapter 1, for I was the king's cupbearer, and he's carrying out his responsibilities. Verse 2, therefore the king said to me, why is your face sad, since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart. So I became dreadfully afraid and said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire? And the king said to me, what do you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. Then the king said to me, the queen also sitting beside him, how long will your journey be, and when you will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set a time. Why would the king, the most powerful force in that part of the world, why would the king become almost a teammate to this humble cupbearer, Nehemiah? While in the king's presence, he's walking upright. He's establishing a relationship with the king. God blessed him, and he became a blessing to others. He served the king in such a way that he gained the king's respect, so God's goodwill could be done. We see this concept throughout the Bible. I'll give you some keys. Daniel in Babylon, Joseph in Egypt, Ezra, a contemporary of Nehemiah, and Nehemiah, a humble cupbearer. He's a servant. How much power does he have? And yet, when it comes to going back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls, the king is going to help him in many ways and almost become a partner of his. How did you do that? How did you get that powerful man to help you out the way he did? It's the process of walking uprightly. In Matthew 5:14, the Bible says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. We ought not hide our faith. Don't be afraid to say something that might help someone. Don't be afraid to help people learn about God. We're focusing on this servant girl tonight and the case found for her faith. I believe that she, like Nehemiah, like Ezra, like Joseph, like Daniel, became a type of a living Bible. And by doing their jobs in the world, even though they were in Gentile places, most of them, even though they were in adverse situations, they walked uprightly, they believed in God, they served God, they were dedicated to their employers, and as a result, they got that type of spiritual currency. They became valuable. Now let's go to the book of 2 Kings, and chapter 5. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And we'll stop right there. The first verse has established just how important this man is. He is the commander of the army. In our country, we would call him a 4- or 5-star general. He was a great man, an honorable man in the eyes of his king. The Lord had given him many victories. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was also a leper. And the Syrians, verse 2, had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel. Then the king of Syria said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. I've spent a little time doing some Bible math, and I know that's dangerous for farm boys to think they belong in a Bible math program. But if my math is right, and you adjust this currency for inflation, which is also hard to do, he's taking approximately 30 million of our dollars with him to go see Elisha. That's how desperate he is to get rid of this leprosy. Kind of like the woman in the book of Mark chapter 5, the woman with the flow of blood. She spent all the money she had. She went to doctors and she did, nothing worked. until she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. There are things out there like sin and leprosy for which there is no cure except to turn to God in heaven. Okay, verse 6. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised when this letter comes to you that I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends to me a man to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over this place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him and said, "Indeed, now I know there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant." But he said, "As the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive nothing." And he urged him to take it, Naaman did, but Elisha the prophet refused. So you see the results. Naaman, the leper, is no longer a leper. His disease, which would ultimately end up in death, has been cured by the very simple process of obeying the instructions given you by the holy man of God, the prophet Elisha. And all of this goes back to the verse we read in verse 3 of the chapter, where we see the work of this girl. She's sharing her faith with the man who took her captive. Do you know how wrong this man has treated you? Naaman selfishly converted her to his service. He snatched her from her family and way of life. She's sharing her faith and knowledge with him. Where is her bitterness, her anger, her complaining, her vengeance? You know, you could keep your mouth shut right here and give this man good time and he would die and you'd get some revenge. Where is that attitude? It comes from the world. It comes from Satan. And this girl, whoever she is walking uprightly. Therefore, she doesn't think like the people of the world. It's an amazing story. Instead of seeing her bitterness and anger, we see joy in her heart, because she's anxious, apparently, to share her faith with a man who doesn't deserve it. This man kidnapped you from your own home. How are you going to worship and keep the Sabbath holy? How are you going to make sacrifices under the old law? What about your lifestyle? What about your parents? What about your siblings? You've been selfishly deprived of all those things because this greedy man converted you into a piece of property and took you home so you could serve in his home for his wife. Maybe she's going to be a launderer. Maybe she's going to sweep floors. But whatever she does, she's sharing her faith with a man who doesn't deserve it, an idol-worshipping heathen. If she was discouraged or depressed about living in Naaman's house. She wouldn't have a faith to share, but she apparently knows that God put her in Naaman's house to make a difference, and that's what she does. What can we learn about her while she's living in this dark world? Because I'd like to give you this. The story tonight is symbolic of the world we live in. We can trade places with this girl. She lives in Naaman's house. We live in the world. Both are dark places. Both are hard places to live in. But we have a faith to share, a light to shine, people who need to be rescued in this dark world, and that's what she did. Let's learn some things from her. She represents God no matter where she is. That's the first thing I want to give you tonight. She's not in the best environments to be spiritual. It's hard to be spiritual when you're out there by yourself in Naaman's house in a Gentile world. It's hard to be spiritual in that environment. And we're not in a good environment either. Neither was Moses, neither was Jesus, nor was Brother Paul. But she makes the best of this bad situation by sharing her faith with this heathen. If she needed God in Israel, ladies and gentlemen, would she not need God even more to be sustained in Syria? If you're resting in the comfort of your home and your mommy and daddy are there and you've got siblings there and you're living inside the safe boundaries of the nation of Israel, if you needed God under normal circumstances, would you not need God even more in Syria to sustain you? We all need God every hour. But doesn't it make sense that if she needs God in Israel, she would need him even more in Syria? How do you have this kind of an attitude in a situation like this? I want to give you this. She doesn't work for Naaman. She works for God in Naaman's house. My Lord is my Lord. I'm serving him. And I'm working for Naaman, and I'm serving the Almighty God. And don't we see that same attitude? Didn't Joseph need God in Egypt? Didn't Jonah need God in the big fish's belly? Didn't Daniel need God in Babylon? The Syrians can take the girl from her home, but they can't take her from her God. Her faith goes where she goes. Her God goes where she goes. That's what is meant by walking uprightly from the 15th Psalm. I may not be in the best situations, but I know this. The God of Israel is the God of Syria too. The difference is a lot of the Israelites know that and a lot of the Syrians don't. But I know that in Syria. I belong to my God. I know who my God is, and my God goes with me, and I'm serving him in this place. It's a wonderful story to consider the faith of this young girl. The second thing I'd like to give you in this lesson, if she doesn't share her faith with Naaman, who will? Is he going to get another opportunity? Is there someone else around here to do the heavy lifting so I don't have to? Can you make that personal application? I hope you can make every application. I hope every time we put a point on the board tonight, you'll see that's what I need to learn. That's what I need to do if I'm not already doing it. She didn't use excuses to shrink her responsibilities. Let me give you a list of excuses. You ready? I'm a girl. I'm young. I'm a captive. I live in a world where he's probably not going to listen to me anyway because he's a heathen. He's an idol worshiper. You know what that's like. There were a lot of responsibilities that she assumed, and she could have used excuses to not stand up to those responsibilities if she wanted to, but according to the scriptures, those things never came up. It's sometimes hard to see, but maybe God put us in this place because it is a dark place and he wants his light to shine in this dark place. In Luke chapter 5, verse 31, Jesus answered and said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." If we don't take the gospel message to the lost, who will? Can I do that one more time? If we don't take the message of the gospel to the lost, who can? Do you know anyone else who's qualified? Do we want to give this assignment to the denominational world? I'm going to shrink on my responsibilities and you guys take over and you teach the gospel message. We know that's not the truth, and that's not what God wants his people to do. And we're learning that and seeing that tonight from this girl in Esther chapter 4, verse 14. "If you remain completely silent, Mordecai," the Jew said, "at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish." If you don't stand up and do what's right, you and your father's house will perish. One of the great lines in the Bible, I hope. "Yet who knows whether you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Maybe God allowed this little girl to be born and to be raised in Israel for just this one specific statement she made in verse 3. And maybe that's the reason we're not given her name. Don't think like a little girl, think like a child of God. Show the grown people at McRaven Road Church of Christ what it's like to walk uprightly. And here it is. Make a difference in this dark world and glorify God and help those you can. Next point, her faith was strong. I love this point. I love all these points. This is one of my favorite sermons. I've worked on this sermon for years, not constantly, but just off and on for years, because it took me so long. I told you I was a country boy. It took me so long to figure out the importance of this girl. How did Naaman the leper decide he was going to listen to her? More on that in a moment. Naaman's a big, mighty man, verse 1. And who's this girl? She's not even a countryman of this guy. But he listens to her. Who in the world would do that? She's been living upright. She didn't say he might get healed. She didn't say my master's tried everything else. She didn't say, hey, toss a coin. Maybe it'll come up. Why not? You've tried everything else. Since you've tried everything else, let me plant this seed in your mind. Why not give it a shot? She didn't say that. She said these words right here. He would get healed. Isn't that impressive? Now, wait just a minute before you run off on the deep end. You may not see how much impression there is in that. He would get healed. She's talking to a Gentile. Why would you think that you can tell this man to go to Samaria to see Elisha the prophet and God would heal this Gentile of leprosy? Boy, that's an outside the box way of thinking right there. This is a powerful statement by this young girl. He would get healed. He'll get healed if he'll do this. What happens if she's wrong? Thought about that? She wasn't, but what if? What if she does a little human reasoning here? You know what the Bible teaches about human reasoning? Jesus said, "Oh, ye of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves?" Well, what if she does a little reasoning here? Girl, you're dealing with a Gentile. Why don't you try to make your time here as comfortable as possible? It's a hard time. We all know it's a hard time being snatched from your family and living this way. But think about this little girl. if Mr. Naaman comes home to Syria with all that leprosy still on his skin because God didn't heal this filthy Gentile, he's going to be mad as a hornet, and your life's going to get a whole lot worse. She didn't think like that. She just told him the truth. This is the way it is. I'm an Israelite. I'm a child of God. I live in the kingdom, and I know the truth. And I'm telling you this, he would get healed. How positive, how assertive, how promising, how encouraging. And that's the reason Naaman took a trip to Israel. Her faith won't allow her to think like that. She believes God is greater than leprosy. She's not rolling the dice. She's sharing her strong faith. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12, "For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." Let's go to the next point. Point number 4. Her faith was believable to others who didn't know God. God's people walking uprightly will be seen by the world as a people of integrity, and that's what makes them believable. We've already touched upon this. Let's touch upon it again. We can attain credibility, dignity, and influence when seen by the people of the world if we live by God's will, because God's will is a higher standard than these people live by. And God is glorified by that, and we might be useful to God and blessed by God because of that upright lifestyle. If we live according to God's will, we will become a blessing to others. How do we know that she had attained such credibility? Because Naaman listened to her in chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. Naaman listened to her. You get that? Let's deal with this. I'm Naaman. I'm big. I'm a 5-star general. I'm victorious. I'm going to listen to you in my house? I'm not going to do that. I've got an ego the size of a Georgia watermelon. I'm a power broker. I'm a mighty man of valor. I'm rich. And you think that I'm going to listen to a little girl? You see the spiritual currency? He did. Naaman goes to the king of Syria. The king of Syria writes the king of Israel. Naaman packs much wealth for the trip. Grown men, right here, grown men, kings and commanders of armies, do you realize that you grown men are taking your cues from a little girl? Why? That's what perplexed me for years. I couldn't figure it out. All this activity among the powerful heathens because she had the courage to make one statement. I think there's more to it than that, ladies and gentlemen. I think it's more than just one statement. I sure do. I think there's other things that we need to be looking at here. It's more than just about one statement. It's about her lifestyle. Think about this. If she was a thief, you gonna listen to her? If she's late for work every day, if she does a bad job, are you gonna listen to her? Of course not. So this little girl must have been in this house without any regrets, working every day, doing what God would want her to do, serving God and not Naaman, and Naaman is getting blessed for it, and every day she's doing her job, and she's believing in God, and she's doing certain spiritual things in the house, and she gained credibility. That's why you listen to this little girl, because she has credibility. Because you've seen the way she works. Naaman thinks he's going to need to pay the doctor. He knows so little about God. He doesn't know that grace and mercy and love and healing can't be bought from God, Mr. Naaman. You can't buy those things from God, Mr. Naaman. Mr. Naaman, sorry to hurt your feelings, but God doesn't need your money. Why are these people willing to go to so much effort to be healed by a God they don't know or worship? Did you notice how clumsy the two kings are with God? They don't know what to do. They write a letter to one king, and the king of Israel, I don't know what to do with this. The king of Syria, I don't know what to do with it. If Naaman was an Israelite, that would be different, but the Syrians are idol worshipers, so why did God heal this man? And why did he listen to this girl? We're witnessing the power of one child's spiritual influence. She could have had sticky fingers on the job, ruin your credibility. I'm not going to listen to you. This is an example for us regarding being living Bibles. This is an example for us. It shows us the power of faith. When we walk by faith, we can gain the credibility we need to teach others. Here's an example. I'm going to teach someone the Bible, someone I met, but they know I'm a hypocrite. They see me doing some things. Now, what kind of credibility do I have with those people? I don't have any. And that leads us to this thought process. She must have been walking uprightly in that house. And she gained their credibility. They knew she could be counted on because of the way she lives. Now notice this. In Luke chapter 4 verse 27. Many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet. And none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. This one girl, a kidnapped child, helped one leper get healed, and he was a Syrian. Healed because of the faith of a young girl living in Naaman's house. If you grown men want to increase your faith in God, here's a little girl who can help you out. She's helped me. Watch the way you live. Watch the tongue. Watch the example. People are watching. And you might get an audience with those people one day. And when you do, if you do, you want to make sure you have some credibility with it. Naaman could have died without her faith. The faith of one humble servant girl changed the entire world this man lived in. Things will never be the same. Are we willing to take the risks she took? Because we believe in the same God she believed in. God has a cure today for sin sickness, just like he had a cure in those days for leprosy. Her statement enabled Naaman to be changed inside and out. I want to go back to 2 Kings chapter 5. I want to read two verses and the lesson will be yours. Verses 17 and 18. Naaman's already made this great confession in verse 15. So Naaman said, "Then if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offerings or sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. Yet in this thing may the Lord pardon your servant. When my master goes into the temple of Kemp of Rimon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow down in the temple of Rimon. Then I bow down in the temple of Rimon. May the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing." Changed inside just as much as outside because of one servant girl's faith, because of one child's statement in 2 Kings chapter 5. That's our lesson on the girl. I appreciate your attention. We want to issue an invitation tonight as we always do. We never know the spiritual needs of God's people. But if you're in the audience tonight and you have some things that need to be addressed, if you want to get your life right with God, if you have some confessions you need to make, if you need to repent, repent. If there's anything we can help you with, please come to the front while we stand and sing.